I'm sure a lot of people are worshiping Almighty God today, though maybe most of them are not worshiping in a building like this, not worshiping together. And, you know, I have to say, I believe the enemy's having a field day. I really do. But at the same time, I think God's being glorified, because on a day like this, the day that many call Easter, you have people that would normally not attend a worship service who would then choose to attend one. And it would be out of a sense of duty, I guess, as Pastor Mark said at the sunrise service this morning. It wouldn't be out of their devotion. And that's a sad reality. But I think that God is calling His people to walk nearer to Him. And I know that everybody who wants to stay home is staying home. I get that. And that's okay with me. I really am okay with that. And I've told people, look, if you feel it's best to stay home, please stay home. But the handful or so of you who've come out, I praise God for you too. It's easier for me to preach when it's not to an empty room, okay? And the echo's not so bad whenever there's a few bodies scattered throughout the building, all right? And I appreciate everybody that has that free will to make the choice to stay home. But I also appreciate everybody who exercises their free will and their choice to come out and worship. Some are home because they're sick, and I appreciate that. Some are home because they've chosen to, because they're concerned about getting sick, because they have some underlying health challenges and they don't want to take a chance. And I get that, and I'm okay with that too. I just have to preempt this with all of that, because I don't want anybody, you know, I'm all for people exercising their free will. That's the biggest thing for me, because we have the authority by God to travel. We have the authority by God to assemble. We have the authority by God to worship. And I'm not going to lock anybody out of a house of worship. That's what this building is. It was built as a house of worship. And as I've said over and over, we're not locking the doors. When I say not locking the doors, it doesn't mean that they're not locked at any time. It just means whenever the we're going to hold services, okay? I applaud everybody who exercises their God-given rights, whatever those rights are. We all have the right to keep and bear arms, for example. And I applaud those who exercise that right. I want us to honor God today as we go into His Word. And we are going to read the accounts that are recorded in the Scriptures of that day that we call Resurrection Day. So many call Easter after Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. And I'm not going to go into that. But I don't celebrate Ishtar. I celebrate the resurrection of the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah of God. And I want us to honor God today as we do that. And as I said, we're going to look at the order of events of that first resurrection day. And, you know, there's four gospel records. And then we've got the second book of Luke, which is called Acts. And in those records, we hear all of the details. Now, they're not in chronological order necessarily, and some have more details than others. Some have details that are scant. And it's as if all of us saw something happen, and different people collected the accounts, and then they wrote their own book about it. You're not going to get the whole picture in one account. And you might get details a little bit different from this one or that one. Some didn't have all the details. Some had more than others. So as we do that, instead of trying to mash it all together and get some kind of an idea of what it was, and there have been people that have reconciled the accounts and said, well, this happened and then that happened and then this happened and so on and so forth, and I'm not going to try to do that. But we are going to read the accounts. And you know, in the early church, that's what they did. They read the accounts of Scripture. They read what was written. And then they'd talk about it as a group. And I want us all to listen for God speaking to our hearts today. Let's go just for a moment to prayer. And we're just going to pray and ask God to give me unction to speak. Father, please take a hold of my mouth today. Skipping beats, Lord. It's just, I guess I'm tired. And I thank you for that physical tiredness. It shows that we were doing your work. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's here and those that are joining with us online and those who will hear the message through the audio sermon. And I praise you, Father. Please open our minds to accept your word into our hearts today as we worship you. Please, Lord, have your Spirit cleanse our hearts and minds of all falsehood and deception. We've all been raised with some manner of deception, Lord. Throughout our lives, the world has turned our eyes away from you, turned our eyes away from the reality of the reality, Lord, of the resurrection. Thank you for loving us and opening the way for us to come back to you. God, I ask that you would take all distractions away from our minds, each and every one of us, that we would be able to attend to your word today and turn our hearts to you for your name's sake, I ask. Please open the eyes of our understanding. Let us hear only from you, Father, and help us believe. We do believe. Yet, Lord, there's so many temptations to not believe. And so we ask that you would take away any disbelief that may be residing in any corner of our heart, Father. Help me to speak clearly and concisely. When you give me words to say, Father, help me to say them. Help each one to hear what it is that you're speaking to them today. And Father God, I ask that you would pour your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of my voice, and that each one who hears this message, whether it be through Facebook or it be through sermon audio or any other channel, Lord, that we happen to use, that we would all receive your truth within our hearts. And I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. We're going to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. You'll find that on page 1542. And those Bibles there in your seats, page 1542, Matthew chapter 28. That's where we're going to start. And this is the first account that we have in the New Testament Scriptures of the resurrection of that one we call Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read the entire chapter. And it's actually a short one. Beginning at verse 1, again on page 1542 there in the Bibles in your seats. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, Yeshua, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Yeshua met them saying, "Rejoice, rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Yeshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." I'm going to put a little commentary in there. Those guards would be killed for that. So it's likely that they were. If they took the money and said, "Oh, it was his disciples, they came and took him," those guards were likely killed because their job was to make sure that nothing disturbed that grave. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So the religious leaders said, "We're going to give you some money. You go out there and lie to everybody. Tell them that his disciples stole him away. And if the governor hears about it, we'll protect you." That's what they said. Just a little conspiracy there, okay? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist kind of guy, but that was a conspiracy, okay? Now, he took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So the conspiracy took hold for a time. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Yeshua had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And he came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, Matthew was a disciple. His gospel record was written in Aramaic, translated later into Greek, and then into Latin, and then back to this or that or all the. But his original was written in Aramaic, and it's known to have been. There's some that argue about that, and I don't argue with them about it. Matthew was Jewish, okay? He wrote in the language that he knew. All right? That's a fact. He said, "Go and make disciples." That's our job as his followers. That is our job. That's our role, okay? We work for him. He is our boss, supreme in command. He is, they call, Lord after the old English. He's the one that rules us. He rules over us. We submit to him. We answer to him. We will give an account to him. This is why yours truly is here. People are binging my phone here. I've got to stop that. Forgive me. Forgot to turn it off. Now we're going to turn over to Mark's gospel record. And Mark's record is a little briefer in some ways. Find that on, let's see, what page is that? I wrote it down here somewhere. Mark is on page 1576, where Mark's record starts. Chapter 16. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him." You see, now, Matthew didn't tell us why they went there. Mark tells us why they went there. "Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?'" So on the way, they're talking about it. Like, how are we going to get the stone moved? "But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed." There's no mention of the earthquake there. Matthew gives you that detail. So if you read one account of the resurrection, you don't get all the details. And this is why today we're going to look at all of them. And I'm not going to try to reconcile them, folks. I'm just going to give it to you because there are details in there that are important. When they saw, they looked up, they saw the stone was there. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Yeshua of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And some people stopped reading right there. They said the women didn't tell anybody. Matthew tells us the women were the first ones to proclaim the good news. And so I tell all the women here, and all the women that will hear this message, go and tell people. There are those men who would say, "No, women got to be quiet. Paul said so." Okay, yeah. Paul said that in a context we're not going to get into, but let me tell you, ladies, okay, the women were the first ones to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, had risen from the dead. Don't take that lightly. God did that, not man. Now, at first they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And there's a detail that Matthew doesn't give us. Mary Magdalene had been set free from demonic possession. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Now, you've all heard the story of Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. Oh, he didn't believe. Oh, unless I see the holes in his hands. Right. But none of them believed, okay? Thus it is written. And they heard that he was alive and been seen by her. They did not believe. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, we'll get a little more details on that in another gospel record. But here it's recorded that that happened. So we know that this is at least somewhat of an accurate account. As I said, you got four different people who recorded the events, and they recorded different amounts of the events and different details of those events. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. None of them believed. No, they were still shaking in their boots because they watched him get brutalized and killed. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. See, that unbelief came from the hardness in their hearts. They didn't really believe that he was the one. Oh, they followed him for more than 3 years. They walked with him. They saw the miracles. They saw all the good stuff that he did. But somehow, some way, it did not get seated in their heart. And I'll submit to you folks, there are a lot of people that walk around with a Christian label or a cross or some fish symbol or whatever who really don't believe. These guys were right there with them and they did not get it. And each of us need to be on guard about that, people. I'm telling you, we need, in these days that we live in, we must be on guard. Because the Lord Himself, in one of the gospel records, we read that He said, "Nevertheless, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when He returns?" There's a danger in not believing. He said so. He said they didn't believe and rebuked their hardness of heart. Now, he said, "Go into all the world. Go. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." Oh, you see, baptized is a part of the transformation process, people, okay? There are some who claim today, "Oh, you don't need to be baptized. That's a work." He said, "Go and teach them and baptize them." So that's what we do. Who does not believe will be condemned. Doesn't say who doesn't get baptized will be condemned. It says who doesn't believe. And if you believe, you'll step into the water of baptism. You'll lay your life down for Him. You'll be buried in the likeness of his death. You'll be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You will be transformed by the work that he does through his Spirit. And then he goes, Luke tells us, this, Luke was a physician, okay? He was a doctor. He took careful notes whenever he discussed this with people. And he tells us that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, this is what Yeshua said, in my name they will cast out demons. Isn't that what he did? He said, you'll do greater works than these. He told his disciples. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will, if they drink anything deadly, they'll by no means hurt. It'll by no means hurt them, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And people like to skip that part too. I'm not skipping it, folks. I'm going to tell you, by the power of Almighty God, we can lay hands on people and we can heal the sick by His power. Not my power, not your power, by His power. He says so. I take Him on His word. I believe Him. I think what He says is true. Now, let's turn over to, let's see, where's it at? I'll keep moving here. I have a lot of notes. I'm not even going to read them. I'm just going to read the gospel records. Page 1632 in those Bibles in your seats. We'll look at the 24th. Excuse me, that was Mark. Luke, we're moving into Luke's gospel record, page 1632. Sorry, I misspoke. I am human after all, and I do make mistakes, and I apologize for that right up front, folks. But I make no apology for the Word of God. Page 1632 there, chapter 24 of Luke's gospel record. Now on the first day of the week, are you getting a theme here? All three gospel records have told us it was the first day of the week. That's the day that we're worshiping on, by the way. That's the day that we're in here. That doesn't mean that we ignore the Sabbath, don't get me wrong. But we're worshiping on the first day of the week. Very early in the morning, they and certain other women. So now we know that there was more than just those women. Okay? Mary Magdalene and others came to the tomb bringing the spices. We get a confirmation on that, which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Yeshua. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, the two men stood by them in shining garments. So we learn in one gospel record that there was a guy on the outside, and we find there's another one on the inside. Now we hear that there's two on the inside. How do you reconcile that? I can't tell you. But these are records. People saw this. They heard it. And maybe somebody mixed something up. Who knows? My guess is God wants some question marks intentionally. These two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? And they said to him, or to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? He told them, but they didn't believe. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now John's record tells us, John was with Peter, and we'll look at that. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together. Remember we heard about the two guys that were walking on the road? And they talked together all these things which had happened, just like we would, right? We saw this guy, this great teacher, and he was crucified, he was killed, he was brutalized, They put him in a tomb. Who isn't going to talk about that, right? We would have been too. We're walking 7 miles. We're going to talk about something, aren't we? We're going to talk about all the things that we just saw and heard. They talked together. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Yeshua himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. So somehow they were blinded. Somehow they didn't recognize him. And not because he was still bloody and beaten. It was a supernatural blindness that came over them. And I would submit to you that there are a lot of people that are walking around in this world today with a Christian label on their forehead that are blinded to the truth. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And this is Yeshua. He said, what are you guys talking about? What's going on? He knew what they were talking about. He knew what was going on. But he asked them a question to get in on the conversation. And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? He's like, man, where you been? Where you been? Did you miss what was going on? Seriously, you weren't there? And he said to them, what things? That's so funny to me. That is so funny. Because here, they're all worked up about this whole thing that happened, okay? And they said to him, the things concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today's the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company, in other words, these guys were two of his disciples. The women were part of the crew. They said, these women who were part of our gang, who were running with him, they came and they said, they saw a vision of angels and who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, anybody who tells you the Old Testament scriptures are irrelevant, you can bring him to that text and say he used it to teach them about him. You don't wipe out the Old Testament because you've got a New Testament, okay? This was the risen Christ who pointed them to the Old Testament. They drew near to the village they were going, and he indicated he'd have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. So they got a place to stay. They go in, they sit down, and now they're still hanging out together, okay? They're still talking. It came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread. He blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened. And see, each time that we take and partake in communion, I pray that God will open our eyes just as our Lord opened theirs, that we would recognize who He really is. And they said to one another, did not our hearts, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. He was supernatural at that point. He wasn't constrained by the body, although we will see that he was flesh and blood. Said to one another, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord's risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Yeshua himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? They're still doubting. He's standing right there. He's showing them his hands and his feet. Check it out, guys. It's me. Okay? It really is me. You see where they put the nails? Yeah, look, check this out, okay? They're still not believing, but they're pretty joyous, okay? And it gets written. Dr. Luke, Mr. Detail, all right? He said, have you any food? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. It wasn't a ghost, all right? And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. We may not think that we can just eliminate the Old Testament scriptures because they are the scriptures that speak of Messiah. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures and then prayed, God, please open our understanding that we might understand your scriptures. Open our understanding that we can receive your word. We can comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I'll pause there for a moment because there are those who say we don't need to preach repentance anymore. It's a lie from hell. He himself said, this is why it all happened, so that we would preach repentance. And you are witnesses of these things, he told them. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Again, the power. You hear that? It's the second witness to the power of God coming upon his disciples, his followers. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. Then it came to pass that when he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, we're going to go to John's record. John was a young man, follower of this Yeshua, this itinerant preacher. The last chapter of John gives us his details, chapter 20 and chapter 21. You'll find 20 on page 1674 in those Bibles there in your seats. John's gospel record starts out with, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, he's speaking of himself, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple, speaking of himself, bragging here a little bit, he outran Peter, came to the tomb first, and he stooping down, looked in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. That's a pretty intense detail. Nobody else laid that one out there. There are some who say they still have that handkerchief. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then, wait a minute, what? He said he told them. But they didn't get it. They did not get it. And the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet where the body of Yeshua had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing there and did not know it was him. And he said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She didn't even recognize him. He cast 7 demons out of her. She, supposing him to be the gardener, that's always funny to me. She looks at him and she thinks he's the guy to take. She probably had tears in her eyes. Her eyes were probably all fuzzy from having the tears. She didn't recognize him. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll I'll take him away. And he said to her, Mary, Mary, Mary. Something to the effect, there's an exclamation point, okay? Mary, it's me. All right? And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is Aramaic for teacher. And he said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things to her. And then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, see the stressing there? Still the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were hiding out. They were afraid. They were going to be next. Yeshua stood in their midst. He came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. How'd he get in? He appeared to them, it says. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw him. Now, what did Luke say? They didn't believe him. See, John says he don't want to admit they didn't believe him. But John says they rejoiced. They were glad. So he said to them again, peace to you, as the Father sent me, I also send you. Go. Okay? That's what he said. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, now here's where we get Thomas's doubting. One of the 12 was not with them when he came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He was pretty staunch in his unbelief, wasn't he? And he said to them, unless I see his hands and his side. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. And Yeshua came, doors being shut, stood in the midst, and he said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Check it out, Thomas. It's me. Okay? Yeah. And reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. There's a message for all of us, folks, right there. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. He's still the same today as he was then. He hasn't changed. Truly, Yeshua did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. After these things, now it goes on. See, now this is where John gives more detail. After these things, Yeshua showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Simon, he threw down his nets when he went to follow the Lord, but now he says, what else am I going to do? I'll just go back to fishing, I guess. He figured it was over. Now he had met the risen Lord, but still it didn't click. They had work to do, and they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. So see, when you're reading these gospel accounts, you're hearing details that maybe are not exactly in chronological order. And that's important to understand, folks, because there are those who would assault our faith by saying, oh, wait, it says over here they received the Holy Spirit, but over here it doesn't say that they received the Holy Spirit yet. It's timeline. That's all it is. We don't know the exact timeline. It wasn't written down in chronological order, and that's just too bad. And that is what requires our faith. We believe it because it is written. Now, we go on. They said to him, we're going with you also. So they went out and immediately got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Yeshua stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was him. He said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no, we didn't catch anything. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Still, producing miracles after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's still the same, folks. He's still the same. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, now this is John, again talking of himself, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, plunged into the sea, but the other disciple came in the little boat. He got off the boat, and they were heading for the shore. It's him! It's him! But about 200 cubits from the shore, dragging the net with fish. And soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and the fish laid on it and bread. And Yeshua said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. Now, Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And he said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? What? Who are you? Seriously? They had been with him for more than 3 years, and they watched him go through that horrific trial and the beatings and the scourgings and the death, the burial. And they had heard of his resurrection. They had seen him resurrected, and still they're thinking to themselves, who is this guy? I mean, are we not in danger if they were in danger of disbelief? Now, nobody likes to talk about that, but we need to, folks, especially in times like this, when our faith is being assaulted. They knew it was him. It says, knowing that it was the Lord. Yeshua came and took the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is how, now the third time, he showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, when they had eaten breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now remember, Simon had denied him 3 times. How many times have we denied him? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Then he said to him 3rd time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him 3rd time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know I love you. And Yeshua said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He's foretelling Peter's demise. He said, you, when you were younger, you'd go anywhere you want. You could do whatever you wanted. But I'm going to tell you something, okay? Whenever you get to your old age, there's going to be those who are going to take a hold of you and you're not going to have your freedom anymore. You're going to be bound. That's what he's telling him. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he'd glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And this is what he says to all of us. Follow me. Follow him. Not me, him. How do we follow him? We got to learn who he is. We got to read his word. We got to study it. We have to become so that this is in here. It's part of us. Because there's going to come a time, folks, when they're going to take these away and you're not going to have it to refer to. You've got to get it into your heart. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. This is John speaking of himself. He said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is it to you? You follow me. Peter said, what about John? What's going on with John here? And he says, look, I could let him live forever if I want. What's that to you? So he's telling Peter, okay, yeah, you love me. You've unrenounced me 3 times, but you're going to suffer and you're going to die. John, on the other hand, Peter's like, well, what about him? Isn't he going to get something too? He says, well, you know, we're going to do whatever we want with him because that's none of your business. Jesus said, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, it's been a couple thousand years, so the Lord's saying, if I let him live for a couple thousand years, that's none of your business. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. So they're all saying, well, the Lord said that John's going to live forever. He's not going to die. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying. It wasn't that he wasn't going to die. It was none of their business how long he lived. And if I will that he remain, what's that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things. This is John saying, it was me he was talking about. And wrote these things, that we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things that Jesus did, that if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. He says there's a whole lot more, folks, that we don't know. And all those people that take the part that we do know and they make it the whole picture, they've got it wrong. There's a lot that we don't know. And I suppose at some point in time, he's going to reveal that to us when we get there. Now, let's move on to the book of Acts, because this is a continuation of Luke's gospel. It's the second book of Luke, renamed Acts. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proof, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking to the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And there we get a detail we didn't get from the other four. He stuck around for 40 days after he had arisen. And he taught them all these things, things that we don't know, because it's not written. They didn't write it. Nobody else wrote it because they weren't there, and so we don't have it. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized. With the Holy Spirit. But not many days from now. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we know, one of the records say they got the Holy Spirit because he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But we don't know when exactly, except here, in Luke's second record, he says they got it. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father's put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy... Do you remember that word? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Witnesses, they'll testify of him. They'll go. And see, all of this is within the Father's gaze. The Father has his eyes on the Son as this is all going on. And he has his eyes on the disciples. You'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, when they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. We've heard that before, didn't we? At the grave, two guys in bright shining apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Yeshua, and his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who came as a guide to those who arrested Yeshua, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now here, Peter got it, didn't he? He said, this is all written. What we just witnessed was all written. Now, when we talk about the resurrection, especially on Resurrection Day, which so many call Ishtar, Easter, we skip all these details. That's just something else. No, this is the resurrection that we're talking about. We're talking about a 40-day period, not just one day. It's not Ishtar. Now, we're going to skip over there to chapter 2. We're going to just read the first 8 verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place via Skype. No. They were all in one accord in one place via Venmo. Or what's the other one? Facebook? No. They were all in one accord in one place. In one place. They were together. Yeah. Okay. They weren't all in one accord online. They were together. All right? Now, remember Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I believe it is, says, "Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, as has become the custom of some." And let me tell you, folks, if those who are in control get their way, that's the way it's going to be. The church is going to have to go underground. If they suspend the Constitution for these United States of America, buildings like this will be shut down. Right now, they voluntarily shut down. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, oh, sure, let's lock the doors. We can meet with our people online. Never mind all the things that our Lord tells us to do, like healing the sick, laying hands on those. No, hands. Oh, no, put the gloves on. Where's the gloves? Put your mask on! Okay, forgive me, Lord. I don't want to get into my flesh. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if we just stopped right there, we'd think they were bumba-da-dumba-da-dumba-da-dumba, okay? Rumbling on. But if we keep going, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were actually speaking languages, and it was so that God's word could go forth to all those people that were there who spoke other languages. They weren't just bumbling on with some kind of gibberish. And I'm not saying that there aren't some people that speak in tongues today. Don't get me wrong. But they heard them in their own language. Now, was this a gift of hearing? One professor that I had said that's what he thought it was. It was a gift of hearing. Because they heard them in their own tongue. But it says that they were speaking in other languages. They were amazed, marveled, saying to one another, "Look, aren't these all Galileans? How is it we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And then he goes into all these different languages. I'm going to stop our reading there. And I want you to get the big picture, okay? And I know it's hard when you're hearing all these different accounts and all these different details. I know that it's difficult. But we can't overlook some of these things, okay? Remember, it's written in Matthew chapter 22, "But concerning the resurrection of the dead," this is Yeshua speaking, he said, "concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'?" God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's saying, they're alive. They're not dead. Right then, right at that moment. "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." Now, Paul expounds upon that a little bit. He says, to be absent from these bodies is to be present with the Lord. Somebody asked me one time, it was at a funeral just recently, actually, well, not exactly recently, within the last year. "Do you think it's this way or that way?" Because two different schools of thought are, well, when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. And others say you go into a grave sleep until the Lord raises you from the dead. Paul says to be absent from the body. Right here, the Lord says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. I got to go with what he says. I got to stick with what he says, folks. That's who I follow. Now, In Matthew chapter 27, we hear the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And there's another place that says, and some of them are still alive to this day when that was written. Now, I don't know about you, but if people started coming out of the graves up on that hill, and I've said this before, I think it'd be kind of freaky. I think all of us would be quite astonished. But here he says, after his resurrection, these people actually came out of their graves. Must have been quite a sight. And I bet you there were a lot of people that were converted by it. So a lot of details that are found in the different gospel records that aren't found in other places. We have to remember about the signs and wonders. In his letter to the second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, we've got to beware of false signs and wonders. And in Mark chapter 13, we hear false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. That was Yeshua himself. This was our Lord. He says, this is going to happen. You're going to see false signs and false wonders, but you've got to beware. And how do we do that? We've got to know the original. Because then we'll know the counterfeit. In Mark chapter 16, we hear that those who received his commission went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working in them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So we know that even then there were real signs. There were real wonders that took place after he sent them out. And he says, go. That's what he tells all of us still to this day. In Acts chapter 4, we hear that with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. They had great power. Are we walking in that power? Because He gives us that power by His Holy Spirit. If we're in fact filled with His Spirit, if we're baptized with His Spirit, He says so. In John chapter 5, we hear that our Lord said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior himself. In John chapter 11, we hear that Yeshua told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. See, that's what the resurrection is about for us. It's about living in Him. It's about being His hands and feet, as we have done in the past couple of weeks in helping to distribute things that we had no way of acquiring, no way of getting, no way of doing, no way of... And God put it all together. Whoever hears His word, believes in Him who sent Him, has everlasting life. As we wrap this up, I want to make one simple point clear, okay? And I know it's a lot to take in, folks. He became the Lamb who was sacrificed on the Passover for the atonement of all sin. Because of His sacrifice, we have access to our Heavenly Father. His eyes are upon us through the Messiah. His eyes are upon us. The Father's eyes do not see our sin because of the blood of the Lamb. Just as the Israelites were told, the Hebrews were told, put the blood on the lintels and, the doorposts and the lintels, and the death angel will pass over. His blood shed on that day so long ago covers us and protects us from the wages of sin. When once we were alienated from God by our sin, we've been brought near. And not only brought near, been shielded. Shielded. Covered. Protected. And as such, our Father's eyes, those same eyes that turned away from Yeshua when He hung on that cross, because He couldn't look upon the sin that He had taken upon Himself, those same eyes now no longer see our sin as we rest in Him. That's what the resurrection is about. It's new life. And that new life is afforded to each and every one of you. But let me tell you something, folks. This does not give us a license to sin, as so many teach today. That's not what this is about. Indeed, His sacrifice freed us from sin, not freed us to sin. And so many are saying, I can do whatever I want because I'm in Jesus. God knows my heart. That's right, He does. And if you live in sin, He knows your heart is evil. His Word says so. Now, as we celebrate His resurrection today, I want us to give thanks and praise for our Creator's love, that He shielded us Himself through the sacrifice. The love with which He sacrificed His Son to save His creation is what we benefit from because of the resurrection. Because He lives, we too can live. Let's keep our eyes focused on Him just as our Father's eyes are fixed upon us. God sees everything. Nothing escapes Him. So don't think because you're in some dark corner somewhere that somehow you're going to get away with it. No, He knows. And don't think you can excuse sin because you're under the blood. That's a lie that's sold in hell. Let's rejoice in His love as we share the good news of His resurrection with all that we meet. Let's go. And let's tell others. It's by His sacrifice that we get to live, not just now, but forever. That's what the resurrection's about. Because He overcame death, so shall we. And let's help others to receive that greatest gift that God Himself gave to this world, the gift of His Son, whose sacrifice paid for our sin. Because He lives, we too shall live. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord God, we know that Your will is done in the reading and hearing of Your Word. We know that it does not go out and it does not come back to You void. When it goes out, it does what You have sent it to do. And so, Father, for all those who have heard in this room, the few of us that are here, and those, Lord, who have heard online through Facebook, and those who will hear later through the sermon audio and maybe YouTube, we ask, Father God, that You would just open their hearts, that by the time they get to this part of the sermon, they would be ready, if they haven't already converted themselves through the sacrifice of Christ to You, if they have not given themselves to You, that they would pray for Your forgiveness, acknowledging that they have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. I pray, Father God, that Your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven, knowing that You want none to perish, but all to come to repentance, as Your Word says, as it is written. I pray, Father, that on this resurrection day, that all who do call themselves followers of Christ, those who call themselves by the label Christian, would come to realize, Lord, where they have erred, and I also, that all of us, Lord, would walk fully in the truth, because it is your truth that sets us free. And I pray this in the mighty and matchless name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, our Messiah. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, now, can somebody give me a hand maybe for an offering? John and Diane, maybe? If y'all don't mind, we do like to keep the lights on. Of course, we could worship without the lights. If we had to, that day may come. Let's pray. Father, lead us in our giving that it would be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all might come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Amen. Father, we thank You for the tithes and the offerings that have been brought forth. Lord God, we ask for Your blessing on both the gifts and the givers, that we, Lord, would be used by You to do the work of going, spreading the good news of the life that we have through Yeshua, Your Messiah, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen.